This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And I recently finished translating, after 2 years, a poem by Imam al-Busiri, which is 160 lines. I retranslated it 3 times. Literally, I translated it the first time and sent it to somebody who has edited it for me. It came back with a lot of changes. It forced me to go back to a second time, and I went through it again. And then the last time, I completely just retranslated it. And at a certain point, I realized that if anybody's read Jorge Borges, who was a surrealistic Argentinian writer, and one of the motifs that he often explores is the eternal recurrence of events. And I realized that I could be in a Borgesian story where I would just keep translating this thing for infinity, because there was always a new possible meaning. There was always a word that could be something else. If you look in a book of synonyms, you'll find for the same word, you'll find several different possibilities. Trying to understand exactly what that poet meant when he said this, and then the possible syntactical changes. Quran is Arabic. It is, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. We have given this in Arabic. It's an Arabic Quran. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. We made this an Arabic Quran. And that's it. That's why the Quran is Arabic. And you do not call a translation Quran. It's not even called Quran. The meaning of Quran is love munazzal lil-i'jaz lil-ta'abbud bil-arabi. It's uttered, it was revealed, incapacitates anybody in imitating it, and it was sent to worship Allah. That's the Quran, and it's Arabic. So that's very important. And this is why there are many different interpretations of the Bible. If you look at the New American Version, standard New Standard American Version, and then look at King James, completely different. Sometimes the meanings are completely different. Completely different. So what do you follow? And who determines what it means? There are obviously multiple interpretations of the Quran. But if you've completed the 15 sciences, or the 12, according to Ibn Juzay, needed to master the Quran before you can interpret it, once you've completed those sciences, and your interpretation is congruous with the Arabic language and does not contradict anything the Prophet ﷺ said, it's an acceptable interpretation. And so the Quran is open to multiple interpretations, always has been, and it always will be. He mentions that the Quran was translated into Persian early on, which is true, but they were more interlinear in notes. They were actually not done for the masses, they were done for the rulers. So the original interpretations of the Quran were actually not given to the mass of people, and it was the same idea that the Catholic Church held. They kept the Bible in Latin and did not translate it into vernaculars until Lutheranism, Protestantism began that process, because they felt that you should master certain sciences before you read the Bible, because you'll misinterpret it. So the idea was, don't put it out there for the common people. And traditionally, that idea was understood in Islam, that you can read the Quran for worship, but you should not attempt to interpret it until you've mastered certain sciences. And then also the idea that the Quran has, he mentioned 7 meanings. He's talking, referring to a hadith about أنزل القرآن على سبعة أحرف. The Quran was revealed in 7 different letters. And there's a lot of debate about what exactly that means. But there is a verse in which, a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, every ayah has an inward and outward and an overseer. So the idea is that there are meanings. You become an esoterist when you only accept the inward meaning. You become an exoterist when you only accept the outward meaning. Sunni Muslims have always believed that the Quran has both inward and outward meanings, and neither should be rejected. It's also mentioned that this Quran, which created an incredible civilization, addresses simple people and sophisticated people, philosophers and kings, as well as peasants and shepherds. That the Quran, that's one of the attractions and the powers of the Quran, is that it literally speaks to the highest and the lowest. And there's a common ground that it finds, because it's speaking about the most important things that we deal with. And also mentioning that the Quran spread within 100 years from China all the way to Spain, and all of those various people spoke different languages, and yet, despite the fact that the Quran was in Arabic, the Quran was able to speak to all of them because it was speaking to their hearts and minds, not just to their ears, to their tongue. It was speaking about meanings that human beings share. And that's why the Quran is a universal book. One of the things, if you read some other traditions, you'll notice that in their scriptures, there's a great deal of geographical things that really relate to living in the jungle, for instance. Whereas Islam, if you look at the Quran, it's speaking to people who travel on the ocean, despite the fact that the Arabs didn't travel on the ocean. So it speaks to sailors in the middle of the ocean, dealing with massive waves. And it also speaks to people traveling in the desert. It speaks to people traveling in the mountains. It's people who live agriculturalist, pastoralist. It speaks to merchants. And it speaks to people who have trades, make things by hands. So everybody will find themselves in the Quran. And the Quran does speak, and that's to everyone. One of the powerful unifying factors of Islam is the fact that it unites all of us with Arabic. So Christians, for instance, have liturgical services in Korean, in Japanese, in Polish, in Sanskrit, all these various languages. Whereas Muslims, their worship is in one language. So we all share that. So whatever mosque you went to, you will hear the same Quran recited. You will not hear a different Quran. And that is a unifying factor for us as one people. Also, the Quran is about the same size as the New Testament in terms of actual length. Although it differs from the Old Testament and the New Testament, by consensus, both of those books were compiled by several different people. Whereas the Quran, it was given by one person. And that is in agreement. I mean, even though there's people like Patricia Crone and other scholars who have attempted to say that the Quran was put together by a committee of people after the Prophet's death, and they added what they wanted and took out what they wanted. And this was in Atlantic Monthly. It's come up a few times. Those are rejected even by Orientalists. People that work within the Orientalist tradition do not accept those theories. And Patricia Crone has backtracked quite a bit. She's not saying things like she was, say, 3 or 4 years ago. She's teaching, I think, on the East Coast now. She was originally at SOAS. And she's no longer saying the same things because she was given so much flack by the Orientalist community. So when you read those things, you have to understand that those things are not even accepted by non-Muslim scholars of Islam. Nicholson, R.A. Nicholson, who taught Arbery in his book on the history of Arabic literature, says that we have to admit that the Quran is definitely the word of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is what he taught his people. And anybody who knows the prolific memories of the Muslims and the Arabs in particular know that it's simply this book has been translated orally, transmitted orally. And I'll give you an example. Muhammad Hassan Waldeddu, who came here and gave a talk here, who has probably close to a photographic memory and memorizes several books of hadith. He memorizes Al-Bukhari by heart. And I had a handwritten copy of Al-Bukhari that he took a look at, and he found two mistakes on the first page that he was looking at and pointed them out. And that is why traditionally the Muslims depended on people, not on books themselves. And people don't understand that people are actually more, when they have powerful memories and they devote their memories to preserving knowledge, they're actually more trustworthy than the text itself. Scribes make mistakes, whereas a hafiz does not. He might make a mistake, but he'll catch himself if he's a true hafiz. And that is why no true hafiz who masters the Quran needs anybody to interrupt him. He can work it out. If you leave him alone, he will work it out himself. And all of us have seen that who have prayed behind a really strong hafiz in Taraweeh prayer. And a hafiz is somebody who memorizes the Quran by heart. The shortest surah has 10 words and the longest one has over 6,000. Each of the verses is called ayah, which means a sign. And they go into quite a bit of detail about that. Now, one of the interesting differences between the Quran and between the Bible also is that the Quran is about God. Now, that might surprise somebody to hear that the Quran differs from those traditions. But if you read the Bible, you will find a good deal of the Bible doesn't really talk about God. It talks about history. It talks about tribes. It talks about people's problems. It talks about families. It talks about a lot of things, but you will actually not find God mentioned for several pages in sections of the Bible. In the Quran, on the other hand, no matter what God is talking about, he will always bring it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the ways that he does that is by using his divine names. He will end the ayah by saying, وَهُوَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. He is the merciful, the forgiving. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He is over all things capable. So the Qur'an is always bringing us back to that most important subject, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why if you look at a red-lettered Qur'an, which is one that has all the names of God in red, you will notice that every single page in the entire Qur'an is filled with the name of God. If you look at a red-lettered Bible, you will be quite surprised to find that a good deal of the Bible does not make mention of God. That is not to say anything is wrong with the Bible, but it's an interesting difference between the two books. It is an interesting difference.